Hi, this is Ray Robinson. I'm here in Los Angeles and I'm talking with Paul Hunter, who was chief engineer with High Adventure during the 80s and 90s. And he was just telling us last week about how the land was first found for the Palau shortwave station that was originally known as KHBN. Of course, we know that it went off the air a few weeks ago. It's most recently been known as T8WH. Very sad, but we're just reviewing some of the historical events surrounding that station. So Paul, last week you were telling us how you had traced the three-phase power lines from the generating station and found this beautiful flat piece of land near the sea. What happened then?
Well, then we had to find out exactly who owned the land and what the situation was. And
was the land cleared of trees, or
it was that part was cleared. It almost looked like a golf area, golf course.
Wow.
In fact, when we inquired about it, there were plans. The owner of the property, which lived right there, was to build a big golf course so that the Japanese could come over as tourists. It'd be a tourist attraction.
Right.
Anyway, we told him what our vision was, what we wanted to do, and they negotiated a 10 or 20 year lease for the property. And that gave the go-ahead to begin to build it. Then secondly, we did approach the FCC to get the property licensed for the transmitter site. And that was all granted through the U.S. and through the American ambassador with the approval of the Palauan government.
Right. So God provided you with a golf course to put your antennas on. And exactly. The FCC gave you a construction permit to build a station. Amazing story.
Yes, it is.
So you had these two RCA Ampliphase shortwave transmitters sitting in containers still back in California, right? And these are what you shipped out to Palau?
Yeah, we had them shipped to Palau then.
Was there a transmitter building there already, or did you have to construct
that? No. We had to construct it. And remember, it's miles away from town, and we had to haul cement out. There was no paved roads in those days. Everything was just ground coral and like a coral road or a dirt road.
Yeah.
And every time it rained, we would get stuck. It was a very difficult time to be able to get material and all of that.
About how far out of the main town of Coror is this transmitter site?
Today, it'd probably be about 20 minutes. It took us 1 hour drive over windy, rough roads to get to it at that time.
I've seen photos. It has a beautiful aspect out over the Pacific Ocean and, of course, directly facing the area that you're transmitting to. What did you build there to begin with? I mean, obviously the transmitter hall, but what sort of antennas did you put up?
We ended up with three antennas. First one was the antenna for to cover towards China, and that was on the 9 megahertz band. And it was kind of a screen type antenna, and that was built locally in the U.S. by an engineering firm called Kintronics.
So it was a small curtain cut specifically for 9 megahertz?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
The center of radiation of that antenna was 318 degrees, and that gave an excellent signal across East China, and during the peak listening hours particularly was the best propagation time.
Right. And then you said there were three antennas, so there were two other curtains?
Yes. The second one we put up was, I believe, the Korea antenna, and that was also a 9 megahertz band, and it had a large reflector screen on the back of it, and it was centered on 345 degrees, which allowed us to get an excellent signal strength to reach Korea, Northeast China, Japan during the peak listening hours.
Yeah.
Propagation was best.
And in that part of the world, I know the 9 megahertz band is very busy, very crowded to this day.
Yes, it is.
So it clearly is a, you know, if you can find a frequency to work on, it's certainly a band that gets a lot of use.
Right. The third antenna we ended up putting in, I think a year or two after that, was the Southeast Asia antenna. But that was a multi-band antenna made by TCI Corporation who make a lot of the high professional shortwave antennas. And that was a multi-band. We were able to work 9 meters, 11, 13, 15, and 17, megahertz.
Megahertz, right. 9 to 17?
Yeah, 9 to 17.
Yeah.
So that gave us 5 different bands to work on. And it was centered on 270 degrees. And that would reach Southeast Asia, the Philippines, East India, and Southeast China throughout the daytime hours as well as the evening hours. So using the higher frequency, we were able to get daytime propagation.
All right. And how long did KHBN use this facility for? It started, what is it, around 93 or so?
Yes, it was. I think 1993 was when we went on the air with it.
How long was KHBN transmitting there? Was it like 10 years or so, something like that?
Yes, at least 10 years. I had to live out there because they have a small apartment, and I was out there for months at a time. My poor wife was left back in the U.S.
Wow.
It was a kind of a neat design of a building. The building itself is interesting. It was made out of foam. Have you ever heard of that?
No, a building made out of foam?
That's correct. There was a manufacturer of portable buildings in Guam, and I flew over to Guam and talked to them, gave them the dimensions I needed for the building, and they designed it in panels that were about 10 feet high and about 4 feet wide with aluminum structure between it. Oh. And these panels were about 8 inches thick, and they showed me pictures of houses and homes that they'd been building and things like that. So they were excited to build a building of this. It came as a kit form. Wow. And I remember somebody thinking, you know, when you talk about foam, it's like I can envision a coffee cup sitting out in the middle of the field.
How did it fare when the hurricanes came along?
Do you know something? It was fabulous because we had built another one similar to it somewhere else, and the building itself was designed for hurricane because Guam is a hurricane area, as you know, in the South Pacific. So it was built for hurricane thing. The thing we did do is reinforce it by putting a concrete roof on.
All right. Well, it could support a concrete roof?
That in itself was a whole different program. Because all they had was sticks of wood and lumber from gathered around to hold up all the places where the concrete was poured. And it was supposed to be there for a certain amount of time, I think about 3 or 4 weeks to settle. And we were in such a hurry. George wanted to be on the air, I believe, by Thanksgiving that year. So we had to remove it fairly quick, even though it was critical. But we did have to repatch the roof a few times for the occasional crack that ended up in the concrete. I know we did some refinishing to really give several coats of roofing for it.
Right. Now, you had the 2 RCA transmitters. You'd put up a third antenna. Were you spreading the 2 transmitters between the 3 antennas, or did you have a third antenna acquired, or what happened?
One was dedicated to China. The other transmitter was dedicated to Korea, that area. When we added the Southeast Asia antenna, being a multi-band, we were able to obtain a third transmitter, and that was a Harris shortwave transmitter.
This was the SW100B?
Yes, right.
Did that also come from HCJB?
Yes, I think it did come from HCJB.
I've seen notes somewhere that was installed, I think, around 97.
Yeah, I would say that's pretty close to it.
So you had the 2 RCAs and the Harris, and that's how it was until High Adventure sold the station?
Yes, that was the final configuration,
right,
and with the 3 transmitters. So it was a pretty neat site. We ran for most of the night, every single night, 7 days a week, and we had such a response from listeners in Asia, China, and all over the place, that it was amazing. And that's why we opted for the third transmitter and antenna.
Did they write in to you directly in Palau?
They wrote to a High Adventure office, some of them in Simi Valley, and some of them we got there in Palau.
proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ throughout the world. This is the High Adventure World Radio Network. Write to us today at Post Office Box 66, Koror Palau, 96948. Once again, that's Post Office Box 66, Koror Palau, 96940.
I think in the 2000s, didn't Radio Free Asia lease time on those transmitters?
Yes, they sure did, yeah. But they didn't use our frequency or our call sign.
And the antennas that you built, as far as we know, are they the ones that are still there today?
That's correct, yes. It's very sad to see all of that equipment and blood, sweat, and tears that went into building that station in almost the middle of nowhere and see it silent at this point in time. I hope that it'll still continue at some time to send out the word of God to those very troubled areas of the world.
Well, maybe there'll be more life in it yet. Who knows?
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you very much for spending time with us, Paul. It's been very interesting, and we appreciate you sharing your background, your history with this station, with the listeners of Wavescan. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you, Ray.